Morning, church. I'm excited to be here. That was a powerful night last night. And we need to really appreciate these assemblies where the Word of God is proclaimed richly. The psalmist said, I was glad unto me when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why was he glad? What are you going to do in the house of the Lord? We're going to worship. We're going to praise God. We're going to exalt his name. I'm glad to do that. We love our Father, and we love our Savior Jesus Christ, and we love what they have done for us in the good night of rest that we had last night and the blessings that we enjoy in this wonderful assembly. We are a blessed, blessed people. We're living like kings, and just think of the future as it will unfold to us according to the Bible someday. We're going to study about studying the Bible today. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to study about studying the greatest book in all the world. We hold in our hand the richest treasure that anyone could have, and that is the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I love the Lord. I love His Word. And I meditate upon it all day long. Does that fit your life? Does that fit your attitude? Do you love the Lord? Do you love His Word? Do you meditate upon His Word all day long? You know, those sermons last night were very challenging. And that's the way preaching ought to be. It ought to be challenging to us to do better. As Brother John Hall was saying, we need to be better parents, better husbands, better wives. And we need to be better Bible students. Verse 98 says, through thy commandments hast thou made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. The Word of God needs to be ever with us. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimony are my meditation. We need to be meditating upon the Word of God. Meditating, rehearsing, repeating the Word of God. It is so valuable and such a treasure, we often ignore it. We ignore the greatest treasure that we have in this world. Furthermore, it says in verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I will hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Where will that word lead us? It will lead us to heaven. God wants us to be students of the Bible. The word disciple has a meaning, and that meaning is a learner. If you are a Christian here today, you are to be a learner, and you are to be a student of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study, study. What is that saying? Well, we are to be students. Students, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there are 66 books in the Bible, and God wants us to study every single one of them. And all 66 are inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture, all graphe, all writing is inspired of God. God breathed, it came from the mouth of God. Matthew 4 and verse 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word, the Bible is word inspired, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our first point today is God wants us to study. He wants us to study His Word. He wants us to be feeding our inward man. Man shall not live by bread alone. And we love our lunches. We love our breakfast. We love supper. But if we're not feeding that inward man, we're going to die inside. There's an outward man and there's an inward man. And that inward man needs to be renewed day by day. And that takes Bible study. Let's turn also to Psalm chapter 1. This is how this great book of songs begins. And what a powerful chapter of the Bible this is. It says, blessed is the man. And God wants that to be you. God wants you to be the blessed man. Blessed is a man. Now, this is what he does not do. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't listen to the counsel of the world. He does not walk in that counsel, in that information. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. That's what he does not do. You have to eliminate some things to be the blessed man of God. And so that includes the television. That includes the internet. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or the movies, or the music. You know, the devil has a little way of kind of getting us to say, use God's name in vain, and he implements God's name in the secular music, and he makes a really catchy little tune. And so we'll just start singing along with our radio on, and we'll sing the name of God in vain. Don't do that. Don't be that way. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. But notice verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We just read Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And notice this, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How does your life, or my life, I need to ask myself the same question. How does my life line up with that passage right there? Verse 1 is what we do not do. Verse 2 is what we do. And verse 3 is the result, the blessings of that result. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God wants us to be in his book. He wants us to be reading his book, studying his book. And the result of that will be beautiful and wonderful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's a serious Bible student. That's someone who loves the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he doesn't want to put it down. He loves the Word of God. And so, number one, God wants us to be a Bible student. Number two, God wants us to study constantly. He wants us to be reading his Bible all the time, day by day. I read someone just not long ago, and they may be here. I don't know. I listen to Tolstoy preaching all the time, and I listen to read various materials. And somebody said if we read a chapter from the book of Proverbs, one chapter every day, we would read the book of Proverbs every month, once a month, and we read it every month, we would read it 12 times a year. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? God wants us to study his word. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 tells us some very important things. God's people in the Old Testament, as you know. And God's people in the Old Testament are an example for us to follow. And it says in verse number 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. So we're to love God. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. The psalmist would say, thy word have I hid in my heart. I've stored up in my heart. And that will keep us from sin, as that passage says. But verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach them to thy children, parents. We had a great lesson last night on this. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. We do a lot of that, don't we? We sit in our house and we spend a lot of time in the air conditioning where it's comfortable. And so we are to talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way. When we may be out at the park or maybe strolling through the store, we are to talk about them. And when thou liest down, that's when you go to bed. You go to bed, you ought to be reading the Bible. You ought to be reading the Bible sitting in your house. You ought to be considering the Word of God, walking in the way. And when thou risest up, well, that's when you get up in the morning. When you're lying down, when you're getting up, the Word of God, His Word is His meditation day and night. And then the Bible says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. God's Word is to always be present in our lives. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You go into these home goods stores or maybe Walmart, they'll have these little frames. You know, you're to write them on the doorpost. And you can see in the stores the Word of God written on these framed items. Faith, hope, love. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have a Word of God written and you can hang it in your house and have it in your home. And so we are to study the Word of God and we are to study the Word of God constantly. Constantly. And that's how we are to be. Have the greatest book in all of the world. And we are to be treating it like the greatest book in the world. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Probably you know already the passage we're going to read here. Beginning in verse number 7. And this shows us the value of the Word of God. Behold, Psalm 19. Did I call out the wrong? I'm sorry. I'll get there in just a second. So, this passage says, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know, there's so many things in our lives we need to correct. Correct our attitude, correct our evaluation of things and the way that we live, it'll convert us to that. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. When we were born into this world, we had a blank page. We had nothing in our minds. We need this counsel of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We need that rejoicing. We need that gladness. And it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward for reading, studying, researching, repeating the Word of God. Keep it on your minds always. Study, refresh your mind upon the Word of God. Rehearse the Word of God. Repeat the Word of God. You know, as a child growing up in the church, I think I memorized verses by what the preacher would say over and over, Mark 16 and 16. We would hear that constantly. We would hear Acts 2:38. And you keep hearing that over and over as a child. You can actually memorize from hearing other people repeat it. So God wants us to be a Bible student. God wants us to study the Bible constantly. Constantly, not occasionally. Let's just stop for a moment. What kind of Bible student are you? an occasional reader of the Bible. Sometimes I'll read the Bible if I can catch a moment. You know, the game's on right now. I can't read the Bible while the game's on. It's a very important game. We're playing Mississippi State or something. Can't do that. You know, we spend hours and hours and hours watching television, scrolling on our phones, and we need to give some time to reading the Bible. If you read your Bible 1 hour a day, you would, at the end of the week, you would have read your Bible 7 hours that week, just 1 hour a day. And if you just read your Bible 1 hour a day, by the end of the year, you would have read your Bible 365 hours. Isn't that important to us to read the Word of God and to read it continually? So God wants us to be a Bible student, and God wants us to read the Bible constantly. But you know what else? God wants us to be a doer of the Word of God. It's not enough to read the Word of God. James 1 and 22 says, "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only." And then the memorable verse of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." The old King James Version, such a wonderful and marvelous translation. Those words that end with the E-T-H most generally mean continuous action. "Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth," that keeps on doing the will of God. That's who's going to be in heaven, not someone who just, "Well, I did it last week, but I don't necessarily have to do it this week because I've already done it once." No, it means we must continue to do the will of God. And then it goes on to say in that same passage, "If he that heareth these words of mine and doeth them," doeth, keeps on doing it, "shall be likened unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock." That's what your life will become. If you read the Word of God and then you do what the Bible says. Let's turn over to Matthew 25, and there we have the great scene of judgment. The greatest day in your life and my life is going to be on that day. It's going to be a powerful day, a great day, a day of reckoning. It's going to be a tribunal on that day that will be unrivaled. Matthew 25, beginning in verse number 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats." What an assembly that's going to be. Powerful. Amazing. All the presidents, all the kings, all the emperors will be there. All the poor, sick, the paupers, the middle class, the upper class, the lower class of people, the educated, the uneducated, all races of people, all languages of people will be assembled there. And you will be there and I will be there. We'll be there, and that's going to be the greatest, most important day of our lives up until that point. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." We'll be on one side or the other. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a-hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." You know, the difference there on that day is going to be did we do the Word of God. This group did what the Bible said to do. The Bible said to help the needy. And they did that. We must be a student of the Word of God to learn what it says and then to do what it says. We're not talking about just learning the Bible, which we must do. But we must learn the Bible in order to do what it says. Of course, the goats, on the other hand, they saw the same situations, but they did not lift a hand. The rich man in Luke chapter 16, Lazarus was laid at his gate every day with sores, and the rich man did nothing to help him. And so the rich man woke up in torment after he died. And, of course, Lazarus, he died and he was in Abraham's bosom. It makes that much difference. It's an amazing thing. You can die. What's the name of this county? Is this Brazos County? You can die in Brazos County and wake up in paradise. What's wrong with that? You can die in a hospital bed and wake up there with Abraham and with Lazarus. And that's the difference, beloved. That's why we want to study the Bible. That's why we want to do what the Bible says. And furthermore, we not only need to do what the Bible says, but our songs and our songbook are based upon Bible themes. And whatever we're singing, we better do what we sing. We have a great old song in our songbook, "Each Day I'll Do a Golden Deed by Helping Those Who Are in Need." We love singing that song, don't we? Got that high part, got that low part, got that powerful bass, got that wonderful soprano, alto singing. Sounds good, but are we doing it? Are we doing a good deed every day? Think about that. Oh, that's a great song, but are we carrying it out? What are we doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? What about that person in the nursing home? What about the people who are hungry? We need to be doing the Word of God and not just singing about it. I want to be a worker for the Lord. And then we're slouching out on the recliner all the time watching the TV. No, we've got to do the will of God. You know, read the Bible to your children and then take your children out. Take your children to the hospital and visit someone. Do what you sing. And we need to take our children out to visit the shut-ins. Take them out knocking doors with you. You know, it's something that we say, well, I'm going to show you how to be a Christian, child. Watch me and you'll see how you're a Christian. You're watching the game. You're going out and eating pizza. You're going over here shopping. Have they seen what a Christian is yet? No, they haven't seen what a Christian is yet. Take them out. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Take your child out and show them how to be a Christian. Put it in action. That's what we need to do. You know, if you're a fisherman and you say, "You watch me, I'll teach you how to be a fisherman." Then you're watching the game. You're going to the shopping center. That's not how you're a fisherman. You're a fisherman, you go out and get in the boat. You get your fishing gear ready. You get out and you do what a fisherman does. That's what we need to do with our children. Our children will never learn how to be a Christian unless they see them acting it out in their lives. There's a verse in Acts, the very first verse in the book of Acts. If you mark in your Bible, let's mark this verse right here. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." What did Jesus do? Well, he put into practice what he taught. And I don't think you can find anything that Jesus taught that you can't find him also doing. He did what he told people to do. He practiced what he preached. And that certainly is what we must do as well. We need to be students of the Word of God. We need to study constantly. And then we need to put it into action. Point number three is we need to study the Word of God. And we need to do the Word of God. And we need to do it right now. Let's do it right now. Let's turn to Genesis 22. I don't know of another command in the Bible that would be more demanding than this command. Genesis 22, where God, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, tested him, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, I am, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. What a command. I don't believe I could take your child and offer your child as a sacrifice. Somebody else's child. I couldn't even take somebody else's child, let alone my own child that I waited 100 years for. And I've raised him up and loved him and been with him all the time. To take your only son and to sacrifice him, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. Destroy his life and then burn his body. That's a powerful command. And so he heard what the will of God was. He knew what the will of God was. And he didn't say, yeah, I'll do that next week. I'll get around to that after a while. No, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took the two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. God wants you to study his word. He wants you to learn his will. He wants you to know what to do and how to do it. But he wants you to do it now. Now. We're real good about next week. I'm going to get to it eventually, but first I've got to do these other things. That's how we usually do things. Yes, we'll even tell our wives, I'll get it done tomorrow. I'll get it done. You don't have to, there's the old saying, you don't have to remind him every 6 months. He's going to do what you said. But look at Abraham. He's an example to us. He's an example to us of obedience. And God wants us to do it, and he wants to do it. Wants us to do it now. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, I will go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. You don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. Your intentions are not obedience. Your intentions are what they are. Intentions. You plan on doing it. You haven't done it yet. And so we're not to say that we'll do it some other time. We are to do it now. God wants us to obey him. We must get our priorities right and obey him quickly. And so whatever it might be, teaching your children, do it now. Don't put that off. That's vastly too important for us to put that off later, till later. They're growing up and they'll be grown before you know it. And your neighborhood changes. It will change before you know it. There may be someone there that would obey the gospel if you would just contact them. I like what the Bible told, or what God told Paul the Apostle. When he went to the city of Corinth, a wicked city, he said, I have much people in this city Don't be afraid. Preach the word of God. I have much people in this city. How many people does God have in Bryan, in College Station? Let's get busy. Let's do the will of God. Study. Study diligently. Study constantly. Study to obey the Bible. Study to obey the Bible now. And then study to do it as good as you can do it. Remember in the book of Revelation that there's that congregation at Laodicea. Remember that congregation. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They were just lukewarm. They weren't doing their best. They weren't doing their worst. They were just middle of the roaders, mediocre Christians. Not their worst, not their best, mediocre. And God didn't like that, did he? He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And so as we talk about being a Bible student and we talk about obeying the words of God and doing what he says, let's do the very best job that we can. Let's be the best husband that we can be. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He wants to nourish the church and cherish the church, even as your own body. That's what the Bible says. Be the, and I like to say this, but I hope it's true, that if you have a Christian husband, you have the best husband you can have. I want that to be true. That should be true, though it may be lacking in some instances. And then to the wife, it says, wives, obey your husbands in everything. And so sometimes wives don't obey their husbands, do they? And sometimes wives, you will say, well, you're not doing what your husband said. Well, I'm working on it. I'm working. You better do it. You better stop the working on it. What if you said, well, are you still robbing banks? Well, no, but I'm working on it. No, you stop. You stop doing that. You stop being a stubborn wife and be an obedient wife and let your husband love you and honor you and do the right thing. Let's be the best spouse that we can be. Let's be the best parent that we can be. Be a good parent and be the best that you can be. Let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Let's be the best. Let's don't be mediocre. God doesn't like that. He doesn't want us to be mediocre worshipers today. He wants us to give all that we can to him. In Colossians chapter 3, it says in verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. There was spiritual masters, Christ, but according to the flesh, there was, had masters on the earth. Not with eye service. You ever be working and or stop working and then somebody will say, here comes the boss, here comes the supervisor, everybody get busy, you know. They're only busy when the boss is around. That's eye service. They're not doing it all the time. They're only doing it occasionally as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Let's be the best floor sweeper we can be. Let's be the best dishwasher, table cleaner we can be. Let's be the best person that we can be on the job. Let's be the best neighbor we can be. Let's be the best friend that we can be. The Bible tells us how to be a good neighbor in Luke 10 in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We're to be a good neighbor. We're to be a good friend. We're even to be a good enemy. We're told how to treat our enemies. If your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Pray for him. Bless him. Matthew 5, 43 through 48 and Romans chapter 12. We're told how to be a good person even to our enemies. Let's be the best that we can be. Let us study our Bibles and study them even more. Let's be good Bible students. Let's be people who obey the Bible and make sure that we're reading the Bible so that we'll know what to do. Sometimes we say, oh no, what am I going to do? What will I do? This is so disturbing. I am so worried about this. Well, listen, the Bible tells you what to do. It says, don't worry about it. And nothing, be anxious in everything by prayer and supplication. And I like this part. With thanksgiving. You're anxious. You're worried. Don't forget to give thanks. And it says, with thanksgiving and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. We're to cast all of our cares upon Him. For He careth for us. It tells us what to do. Go to your Bible, read your Bible, continue to read the Bible every single day, and you'll get through life and you'll see when the next problem comes, you'll say, remember David when he fought Goliath? They said, you can't do that. You can't fight Goliath. He's a champion. You don't have any experience like that. And David says, I do have experience. I fought a lion. I fought a bear. I've been through things like this before. And I'm going to defeat him. So remember what God has done for you in the past. And press forward with great courage. Let's don't look back. Don't look back. There's nothing behind us that's going to help you. Everything is ahead of us. Our reward is ahead of us. Right now we can do the will of God, but our blessings that are eternal of nature are ahead of us. Let's have courage. Let's have faith and dedication. We can do whatever we are called upon to do because we have God and we have His holy word. Do your best. Do your best and God will bless you in return. Thank you for your kind attention today.